بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. I would like also to congratulate in advance my brothers and sisters for the birth anniversary of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to follow the instructions of Ahlul Bayt and to learn more from the Imam al-Askari alayhi salam and his teachings, inshallah. So we have two more sessions, including today, as Brother Musalla mentioned, on Sermon of Muttaqeen. So far, I think you also confirm and agree that the Sermon of Muttaqeen is kind of so valuable, the teachings, the instructions of Ali alayhi salam, helping us to understand what we need to work for, what are the strength or the weaknesses that we may have in our path to salvation and our spiritual journey. Kind of looking at the signs of muttaqin and kind of evaluate ourselves whether we have those signs or not, and we should kind of strive for in the time being, as long as we are still actually given time and opportunity. In what we discussed last week about the kind of the attributes of muttaqin, we had this phrase of Imam alayhi salam. We discussed this except of Sermon of Muttaqeen. Qurratu aynihi fi ma la yazul. So Muttaqeen, pious people, are the ones who are concerned, who are kind of dedicated to something that would not finish, something eternal, something that would last forever. وَزَهَادَتُهُ فِي مَا لَا يَبْقَى. And muttaqin are the ones who, when it comes to temporary and material benefits, they are actually not attached. They are not that much concerned. يَمْزُجُ الْحِلْمَ بِالْعِلْمِ. Their knowledge is accompanied with patience and helm, tolerance. وَالْقَوْلَ بِالْعَمَلِ. And what they say is what they do. We don't see difference between what they claim and what they act upon. We continue the Imam's description of muttaqin. Imam starts with telling us more, giving us more, kind of setting a better and more clear picture of what means to be a muttaqi, a pious person. He says, "Tarahu qariban amaluh, qalilan zalaluh, khashi'an qalbuh, qani'atan nafsuh." Four attributes that inshallah we are going to discuss tonight. Imam starts with qariban amaluh. What does it mean for one to have this characteristic? Qariban amalu, kind of literal translation, means the ones who their wishes are close. Qariban amalu. What does it mean, their wishes are close? It means that the ones who, what they wish for, what they actually strive for in this material world, are not kind of far away wishes. Rather, they are content with kind of those wishes that normally, usually are easy to access, can be found easily, not too much hassle and not too much problem to go for them. One may ask here, so if you want to kind of reflect on it, so what What is the problem of having long wishes? For example, I think most of you, if not all, are in academia. So if you plan, for example, for your next 10 years, 20 years, to graduate from your field, to become an instructor, and to kind of contribute to your field by writing books, articles, so on and so forth. So it's a long kind of plan for that actually would be achieved in 10 or 20 years. So does it mean that Imam alayhi salam is trying to somehow negate us, to kind of warn us to not do so, to not plan so far? Is that what Imam means? Looking at how Imam explains and looking at our tradition, you will see that what Imam means here seems different. So to have long wishes does not mean to not have a plan for your life, even if it's kind of you plan for a long time, for 20 years, 30 years. The long wishes here are those wishes that are material wishes, with the worldly wishes, with the intention of kind of satisfying our material needs. So it is not about kind of spiritual perfection. It is not about those aspects of our kind of personality that can be improved by achieving knowledge, learning more, so on and so forth. We are talking about those wishes that we have in this material world. They are worldly wishes, and they are intended for material, for kind of worldly usage. They don't have kind of benefits in hereafter. They need us to put time, put energy on it, and they are not that much necessary. They are those wishes that we can live without. We don't need them per se. So for example, someone who wishes in 10 years, in 20 years to, for example, get two houses, two large houses, several cars. You see some people actually may have kind of similar kind of perspective to get, for example, a luxury car, for example, or to get a kind of that kind of expensive, for example, facilities and equipment that some people actually they have, they use. So these are, so, and so for getting to that kind of stage, if I want, for example, to be financially so strong, to own several houses, to own a big house in that, for example, a specific area of that city, which can be very expensive. And I know that in my kind of current state as a student, it's a long way to go. So for it means for me to work for years, to kind of save for years, so I can get that. So why this could be a problem? What's the problem with that? With me kind of wishing to have kind of large house in the best kind of area in the city, so on and so forth. So we are not talking about those cases which we may need this kind of houses, facilities, so on and so forth. It is possible, for example, someone who lives in a short, small kind of studio, for example, like in a 40 meters kind of house, and you have, one has several children, maybe going for a bigger house would be necessary to have a kind of normal life. Or someone who needs a car to accommodate, kind of to go between, for example, houses, and so for his job, for his studies, so on and so forth. And without it, one would be kind of affected severely. in one's studies, one job, so on and so forth. We are not talking about those kind of situation which having certain kind of equipment, facility would be necessary. We are talking about those instances that they are not necessary. And we are putting time, we are putting energy, we are committing ourselves to those material goals that they do not have any benefit in hereafter. What happens next is that we, even unintentionally, without knowing it, we get attached to the things. We distract us from our main goal. We are not here to kind of buy 2-3 good houses. We are not here to own several cars. We are not here to own that much money in our bank account. We are here for a purpose. And whatever distracts us from that purpose is blameworthy. We have in a narration from Ali alayhi salam, actually that's the narration tells that when Imam alayhi salam become the next caliph after, so for example, in the history of Islam, after Uthman, he took the rule and he came from Basra to Kufa. So people were very excited, very happy, and they gathered around the Imam. And Imam, he went to give a lecture, to deliver a lecture for the people. And he starts with kind of, أَمَّا بَعْدْ يَا أَحْلَى الْكُوفَةِ فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَضْلًا مَا لَمْ تُبَدِّلُوا وَتُغَيِّرُوا. So you are, oh people of Kufa, or you are having great status in Islam. As long as you preserve it, as long as you don't change. Then Imam continues a few kind of points, and one of the main points that Imam mentions here, and this is a very important point. Allah in akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum, O people. The most thing that I'm worried and I'm afraid for you, my Shias, my followers, ittiba'u al-hawa wa tulu al-amal, is to follow your desires and to have long wishes. فَأَمَّا اتِّبَاعُ الْحَوَى فَيَصُدُّ عَنِ الْحَقِّ. If you go for your desires, that stops you from seeking truth. وَأَمَّا طُولُ الْأَمَلِ فَيُنْسِ الْآخِرَةِ. But if you go for your long wishes, if you kind of dedicate yourself to those material wishes that doesn't have benefit for you in the hereafter, and you have to put a lot of energy and time to get there, that's what distracts you from your hereafter. That's what actually makes you forget what you are here for. So it's the same point that Imam alayhi salam explains why it is so kind of, so we see those prohibitions, we see those advices to not kind of plan for kind of material benefits, for those long wishes that requires us to push ourselves to extreme. We have in another narration from the Prophet, peace be upon him, elaborating on the same point. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, يَحْرَمُ ابْنُ عَدَمُ وَيَشِبُّ فِي هِلْتْنَةً. Human beings are getting old, but there are two characteristics that gets actually becomes younger as they get old. These two kind of mentality, these two characteristics of human being becomes younger, actually gets flourished more. And the Prophet explains, Al-Hirs wa tul al-amal. So for one to be somehow eager for the material benefits, to be haris, and to wish and kind of long for those material kind of goals that may not be easily accessed. And then the Prophet continues, actually the hadith says, وَأَخَذَ حَجَرَيْنِ فَأَلْقَى بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ حَجَرًا وَقَالَ هَذَا أَمَلُ ابْنَ آدَمَ. Then the Prophet took two stones and then threw down one of them and said, you know, that's the kind of wishes of human being, all the kind of wishes that we have. وَأَلْقَى خَلْفَهُ حَجَرًا, and he threw the second stone just behind the first one. وَقَالَ هَذَا أَجَلُهُ فَهُوَ يَرَى أَمَلَهُ وَلَا يَرَى أَجَلَهُ. Said the second stone, which is just behind the first one, is human being's death, the end of the material world, the end of one's divine test. And we tend, and human tends, to see the first stone, but neglect and forget the second one. They see their wishes, they see their material needs, but they forget about the second one, which is just behind, which is their death. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, implies that if you are kind of aware and mindful of the second stone, if you are mindful of the death which comes just behind your wishes, you would not be concerned about those wishes anymore, those material wishes anymore. So that's, I think, a very beautiful illustration that the Prophet, peace be upon him, did. And so the whole point is not about those kind of wishes to be bad per se. It's actually because of the consequences, because of distracting us, because of not being our priorities. You see, the successful people in each field, material field is different. So for example, academic field are the ones who are successful in kind of choosing their priorities and putting and kind of arranging them accordingly. What is the one that I need to dedicate more time on it? And what is the one that I can just leave it behind? So for example, for someone who is working in academia and needs to, for example, to get successful in one's field, it might be fine for one to have other habits. For example, someone, a good kind of instructor may also be interested in cooking. But if one puts too much time on cooking, that hurts the kind of the academic advancement, that's when actually one would be in loss. So to set our priorities, that's the whole point. Our priorities is the kind of eternal life, is kind of passing this divine test successfully. So whatever distracts us and is beyond necessary, we don't need it, although it may kind of be fun to have it, maybe kind of feel more comfortable to have it, but it distracts us from our main goal, and that's when we should be careful about. And so you see, for example, we have in Sahih Sajjadiyah from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and Imam in his dua asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to take care of tul al-amal, to not be concerned with those kind of wishes. So Imam alayhi salam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alih waqfina tul al-amal. Allah help us to take care for us of our kind of long wishes. Do not let us be concerned about them. وَقَصِّرْهُ عَنَّا بِصِدْقِ الْعَمَلِ حَتَّى لَا نُعَمِّلِ اسْتِثْمَامَ سَاعَةٍ بَعْدَ سَاعَةٍ وَلَا اسْتِيفَاءَ يَوْمٍ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ. And instead help us to do good deeds, sincere deeds, and not be kind of not take it for granted that we would have the next hour or the next day, if we know that actually there is no guarantee for tomorrow or for the other day. We do not go to plan for so long time for material kind of needs and material desires. So that's a very important point, that as long as so one would be mindful of death, mindful of the fact that whatever we have is temporary, one would not kind of be concerned about those wishes that would not help us that much. The second attribute that Imam alayhi salam mentions about muttaqin here is that not only they are the ones who their wishes are short ones, the ones that can be accessed easily, they are also the ones who you see them very kind of, so they're not the ones who mistake too much. They are not the ones who go astray too much. Sometimes they don't make mistakes. Imam al-Islam doesn't say that they don't kind of losing path sometimes. But says if it happens, there are just few instances. They are not, so they are, so the kind of the expression of Imam is qalilan zalalu. Muttaqin and pious people are the ones who their mistakes are just few. We don't see them kind of repeat with mistakes again and again. So we ought to ask ourselves again why Imam says that muttaqin are the ones who do not kind of go astray, do not make mistakes that much, do not sleep that much. So what's the problem with kind of one making even higher, more mistakes, but then doing tawbah, asking for and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So why it's being mentioned as one of the attributes of muttaqin? So if you reflect on kind of the reasons that one makes mistakes, the reasons that we commit sins, we can then kind of put it kind of aligned with our tradition and the kind of diversity of Quran instructors that we have, you may find the reason why we make mistakes. Sometimes people, they make mistakes, they repeat things intentionally. Someone who tells lies and tells again and again. Why? Because he's actually happy with kind of those trivial benefits that he got from telling lies, making people believe him, believe her, this or that. So the one who repeats kind of a mistake, repeats a sin intentionally, so that's one of the signs of not being sincere, signs of hypocrisy, signs of nifaq. We have in a narration from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and Imam says, إِيَّاكَ وَمَا تَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهِ. So be mindful of doing something that you have to ask for forgiveness later. فَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ لَا يُسِيءُ وَلَا يَعْتَذِرُ وَالْمُنَافِقُ كُلُّ يَوْمٍ يُسِيءُ وَيَعْتَذِرُ. A true believer does not commit mistakes frequently and does not ask for forgiveness frequently as a result. But a hypocrite, a munafiq, is the one who kulla yawmin yusi'u ya'tadir. You see him again and again repeating the same mistake and then asking for forgiveness. So just for an example, if you see one actually got fined for, got a ticket for kind of driving, kind of for violating speed regulations, that happens once, can be a mistake. That happens twice, still. But for someone who repeated again and again, 10 times, 20 times, so even kind of the law, and kind of if one gets to court, the judge would have a hard time to believe that he just made a mistake. So it means that he does not actually believe, he just actually, maybe every time he asks for forgiveness, but he's not sincere in doing so. sometimes people make mistakes, the second kind of possibility, out of being careless. It is not the case that they see it fine to tell lies, they see it fine to violate speed laws, but they are not, they don't care that much. So in the same example of kind of driving, for someone who doesn't actually check frequently the speed at which he's driving, so that happens again and again that you would get a ticket because he's not careful enough. Again, it's one of the signs that you don't see it in muttaqin. So muttaqin, for short, they are not hypocrites. They are sincere people. So the first kind of category does not apply to them. The second category also does not apply to them because muttaqin are the people who are supposed to be careful, watching themselves, to take lessons from the mistakes, learn from the mistakes, and to try to compensate that. We have in chapter Ali Imran, verse 135, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم. The true believers, the ones, if they made a mistake, if they committed a sin, and actually they were unjust towards themselves because they hurt themselves by committing sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for muttaqeen, for pious people, for mu'mineen, they are the ones that ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِلْذُنُوبِهِ. They are, when they make a mistake, just immediately, just afterward, they are being reminded. They are actually, they just become conscious again of their mistakes, and they ask Allah for forgiveness. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And the verse of Quran explicitly says they are the ones who don't insist, who don't repeat their sin, their sins while they are aware. They may just, for example, again happens out of just a kind of negligence, but as long as they are aware, they don't do it intentionally. They don't repeat it intentionally. So that's one of the signs of muttaqin. We have in chapter Araf, verse 201, the same concept. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. So one of the signs of muttaqin is that when they are being touched by maybe temptation from Satan, maybe some kind of desires that may lead them to the wrong path, astray, they immediately they become aware, they got reminded, tadakkaru, they remind themselves of their duties, their responsibilities before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. And then they become careful. So they watch themselves more closely. That's what we talked about the concept of muraqabah, to watch oneself. So that's one of the signs of muttaqin. So we see, as we had in our verse, in the verse of Quran and in the Imam Hussein alayhi salam's narration, muttaqin are the ones who do not insist on kind of committing sins, mistakes. They are not hypocrites, nor they are the ones who, for example, are careless. So that's why, as Imam alayhi salam says, you see muttaqin qalilan zalalu. You don't see them to kind of make too much mistakes and to repeat their kind of sins or repeat their mistakes. The third characteristic that Imam alayhi salam mentions in this phrase is about muttaqin is khashi'an qalbu, qaliban amalu, qalilan zalalu. خَاشِعًا قَلْبُهُ. So the third attribute of muttaqin in this excerpt of Simra muttaqin is that they are the ones whose heart are خَاشِع. What does it mean to be خَاشِع? the kind of the meaning of khushu is to be somehow in kind of to be surrendered, to be obedient, to feel that kind of the lowly and humbleness before one. So to have a khashi heart means to have an obedient heart, to have a heart which is totally surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have in one of the sources in the Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Quran, and defines by al-khushu, وَحَالَةُ اللِّينَ وَالْضَعَ وَالْإِنْغِيَادِ, the kind of the status of humbleness, the status of kind of servanthood and obedience before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a muttaqi is someone whose heart is totally surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very important because the kind of the root for many sins that we commit is kind of istikbar, is ghurur, is kind of pride, and to feel ourselves independent from our Lord, to forget that we are nothing without Him. So you see in the verses of Quran the same concept is so about a kind of Satan, the reason that he lost his status and from just switched from being an obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to someone who is kafir. The verse of Quran says, Illa Iblis astakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. So all the angels of Allah, they prostrated before Adam, with exception to Iblis, who istakbara, whose kind of pride prevented him from kind of obeying Allah's order, wa kana min al-kafirin. And he become one of the kuffars, and he become kafir after being so long time among worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with his angels. We have in chapter Nuh, verse 7, the same characteristic istikbar you see is the reason that kind of people, they don't listen to the prophets and to kind of a divine instruction. The verse of Quran says, so this prophet Nuh actually complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ, whenever I ask them to come, so you forgive them, جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشُوا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. They rejected, they went away, and what they did was that actually they took an attitude of istikbar, pride. And that's what leads to tughyan. That's what leads to kind of practically going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. You see in chapter Shams about the kind of the Thamud and why they went astray. The verse of Quran says, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِتَغْوَاهَا. It's because of the tughyan, their pride, that they negated, rejected the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about Pharaoh? We have in chapter Taha, verse 24, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa to go to Pharaoh. It says, اِذْحَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ. So go to Pharaoh because he took pride and is kind of see himself somehow independent from us. And رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَىٰ. He thinks that he is the Lord. And what leads to tughyan, as mentioned, is the kind of the wrong understanding, the kind of the wrong belief, the kind of wrong impression that one gets of being kind of powerful and independent. So we have in chapter Alaq, verse 7, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kalla innal insana layatgha. Never indeed you see human beings, they are kind of taken by pride, kind of rejecting divine instruction. Why? And ra'ahu staghna. The reason of tughyan here, the reason of going, so disobedience here, is that one gets see oneself in independent. So as long as we don't realize that we are nothing without him, that we are just kind of so the kind of those verses of Quran which kind of remind us of what we have been, kind of dust, kind of being nothing, and then came to existence, and everything relies on him. So as long as we don't understand it, then it might be the case that we disobey him because we see for ourselves a share, a part. We see ourselves independent. That's why khushu, which is a kind of the kind of internal feeling status of being obedient, being surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of the signs of true servanthood. In chapter Baqarah, verse 45, we have the verse of Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa-sta'inu bis-sabri wa-s-salah, wa-innaha la-kabiratun illa ala al-khashi'in. Why prayer can be difficult for people who don't have khushu? Because prayer is the sign of obedience, is the sign of servanthood. And if your heart is not yet obedient, if one's heart is not yet surrendered before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one's prayer would not actually go along with one's heart. That's why one feels that the difficulty. So one feels not being in mood, for example, to perform prayer. You see in chapter Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So that kind of having this status of heart's khushu is one of the attributes of Muttaqin. In chapter Hadid, verse 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind us of the importance and warn us of kind of being mindful and kind of checking our heart, whether we have the required khushu and obedience. So the verse of Quran says, أَلَمْ يَعْنَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. Isn't it yet time for the believers to let the heart to get submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in a kind of this total obedience status? And one's khushu, kind of the obedience of heart, can be seen in one's action. So not kind of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in practice, and even kind of showing khushu in ibadah, in worship. So we have in narration from Ali alayhi salam, the Imam said, لِيَخْشِعَ الرَّجُلْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. So Imam alayhi salam says, make sure that you are khashi, you are totally surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are performing your prayers. Just make sure that your heart is not kind of bothered with pride. Your mind is not kind of occupied with pride. And you are totally humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُهُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَشَعَ جَوَارِهُ. Mom says, if your heart is truly submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your prayer would be also with khushu. فَلَا يَعْبَثُ بِشَيْءٍ. You don't see, for example, unfortunately, we see ourselves sometimes, we are performing prayers and we are playing with our fingers, with our clothes, looking around. It shows that the heart is not yet khashia. That's why you see the kind of the lack of khushu reflected in one's kind of actions during prayer. So Imam alayhi salam says, if one's heart is khashi, one's prayer would be khashi, and you see it kind of manifested in one's kind of way of praying. You don't see one playing around while kind of playing with one's finger, one cloth, and looking around one while performing prayers. So that's the third point that Ramana Sam mentions about turning the third characteristics so to be khashi and to be humble and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last characteristic that we are going to discuss tonight. Imam alayhi salam says one of the attributes of muttaqin is qani'at al-nafsu. Their soul, they are the ones who are actually, their soul is content with whatever they have. They are content with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them so far. Again, we might ask ourselves, we need to ask ourselves, why it is a sign of muttaqi, a sign of a pious person, to kind of be content with whatever we have, not kind of eagering for getting more and more. It might be kind of clear somehow, based on our understanding from the Islamic teaching, that qana'ah and content is kind of a sign of not being attached to material world. And that's a necessary condition for a muttaqi, to kind of be successful in his or her spiritual journey. We have a narration from Hisham ibn Salim. He narrates from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam narrates from Amir al-Mu'mini alayhi salam, that Ali alayhi salam was saying that Ibn Adam, the son of Adam, إن كنت تريد من الدنيا ما يكفيك فإن أيسر ما فيها يكفيك. If you just need from the material world whatever is enough for you, just whatever you need, whatever is necessary for you, the less of material world would be enough for you. If that's what you intend, is that's what kind of you are truly looking for. وإن كنت إنما تريد ما لا يكفيك فإن كل ما فيها لا يكفيك. But if you are among the ones who are not content with the list that they get, are not content with just necessary measures, to go beyond, Imam says nothing would be enough for you. It doesn't matter how much million dollars you have in your bank account. Still you eager for more and more, and that's kind of the maybe one of the kind of the natural kind of the characteristics of human being, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to be perfectionist, to go for perfection. So that's what we need for our spiritual journey. However, if we direct this kind of characteristic to a wrong kind of path, to kind of direct it to material world, that's when we can't get enough. We just need more and more. And it is also important to understand that content and qana'ah is a very important asset for one's spiritual perfection. We have in narration from Imam Radla alayhi salam, Imam kind of provides explanation for why it is important for one to kind of be mindful of having this characteristic, al-qana'ah, to be content with whatever one has. Imam Radla alayhi salam says, "Man lam yaqna'hu min al-rizq illa al-kathir." Whoever would not be content unless if one gets a lot of kind of risk and kind of the whatever kind of financial needs, so on and so forth is. لَمْ يَكْفِهِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِلَّا الْكَثِيرِ. So when it comes to responding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not be enough unless one also provide a lot of good deeds to compensate for those many blessings that one got. So in other words, the more you get, the more responsible you are to answer, how you used it, whether you put them the right kind of direction. So with kind of more provisions comes more responsibilities. For example, one who gets a grant from the government for doing something, the larger is the grant, the more responsibilities the one have. So if one fails the responsibilities, one would be doomed and kind of maybe getting going to prison for kind of wasting the kind of grant, not using it properly, so on and so forth. However, one who doesn't get that grant doesn't have that responsibility. And Imam continues, but if you are among those people that وَمَنْ كَفَاهُ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ الْقَلِيلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَكْفِيهَ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ الْقَلِيلِ, if you are among those people who are content with just the less kind of provision, the less kind of material benefits that what they have, Allah would be satisfied with them with a few of actions as well, fewer actions as well. There are not much responsibilities that one has to answer for them. So these are, you see, very important point that Imam alayhi salam mentions. I just finishing my lecture tonight about Qira'ah, I'll be just mentioning just a point. So if we are, so we are listening to Imam alayhi salam, trying to kind of see how, what we lack, what are the shortcomings that we must address. So if I see that for whatever reason, I'm not among those people who I can call myself content, I see that I'm actually are somehow kind of inclined towards asking more and more. So what are the approaches that can help me to work on myself? One thing that it may help, according to kind of our the instruction that we have in our tradition, is to work on ourselves from so kind of our belief, kind of worldview, and kind of the ideology. We have in a narration from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and he narrates from the Prophet, man arad an yakun aghna an-nas, who wants to be among the people who are not in need in other people, who is ghani, who is content, who has enough, فَلْيَكُنْ بِمَا فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَقْ مِنْ بِمَا فِي يَدِ غَيْرِهِ. The way to achieve that is to work on one's kind of belief system, kind of understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than to rely on other people and other kind of instruments. If we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we trust what He sees beneficial enough for us, we do not kind of feel the kind of the lack of something that we need then to strive for. And kind of on the same direction, we have in a narration from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and Imam alayhi salam instruct us, إِيَّاكِ أَن تُطْمِحُ بَصَرَكَ إِلَى مَنْ فَوْقَكَ, don't look to the people who are living over you, kind of when it comes to material benefits. Those people who have more cars, more kind of houses, who have kind of wealthy people whose accounts are full of money, so on and so forth. And Imam al-Islam says, فَكَفَى بِمَا قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَدَيْ فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ. Just be mindful of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us. Don't be kind of amazed by this kind of wealth, by this kind of even kind of children, kind of facilities that they have. وقال ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا. Again, the verse of Quran, which instructs us, don't look and don't wish for those kind of material benefits. فإن دخلك من ذلك الشيء, and then Imam gives us a kind of practical way. If you feel in yourself sometimes kind of these feelings, kind of feeling short of not having something that people kind of above you, above us, they have, then Imam al-Islam says, فَذْكُرْ عَيْشَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, then remind yourself of the way that the Prophet, peace be upon him, lived as your role model. فَإِنَّمَا كَانَ قُوتُهُ الشَّعِيرُ وَحَلْوَاهُ التَّمْرُ. His meal was just oat, sha'ir, وَحَلْوَاهُ التَّمْرُ. And his sweet and kind of maybe dessert was just date. And وَقُودُهُ السَّعَفُ إِذَا وَجَدَ. And his kind of bed was just a piece of wood, hatab, if he could find it. That's it. Just he was content with the less he could find. And we have in moral teachings that just look to the people who are below you when it comes to material benefits. And that's kind of, you see how there are other people around the world who are suffering because of not having the less required kind of the instruments of life, then you would be grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon you and would be content with that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide us with the blessings to kind of, inshallah, to work on these characteristics that Imam alayhi salam instructed us to be among those who have qariban amalu, who have short kind of material wishes, qalilan zalalu, the ones who do not make much mistakes. They are careful people, khashan qalbu, the ones whose heart are surrendered before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last but not least, the ones whose soul is content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them from the material world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that blessing. And to follow the instruction of Ahlul Bayt and the kind of the instruction of Quran and be among those pious and muttaqi people, inshallah. Please recite the salawat.